Music provided by Armstrong. Visit armstrongofficial.com to hear more badass music.
Welcome to the TriCast Gaming Podcast.
Greetings and welcome everyone to episode number 89 of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. I am your host, Philip Grimlock Keeney, and I am joined tonight by Jason Neons Andrews. Jason, it has been a while since you and I have been on a show together. I'm happy to be with you tonight. How are you doing?
Doing good. I am glad to be back. Don't know why, but I suddenly am very aware of my voice sound, and I want to make sure I sound as sultry as Mike, as always. Missing Mike tonight, but, you know, I'll have to pick up that mantle if I can.
I have this vision of Brick from Anchorman, and he's, like, standing in the corner going, "Lamp. I like lamp," or whatever it was. Oh, man.
It's funny. You say that, and I mean, I can picture that, but I don't know why. It immediately picks off in my brain. There's like an episode of Friends. Is it Friends? No. It's How I Met Your Mother. Mm. And they start talking about if you say a word enough times, it becomes foreign in your brain and you like overthink it. And they use the word bowl.
Bowl.
And they just keep kind of repeating it. And at the end, they're like,
bowl?
Like,
bowel?
They're like, yeah, they're like, are we saying it right? Is this right? A bowl.
Have you tried that new How I Met Your Father show or whatever?
Yeah. You know, it's okay, but it's just not as good as How I Met. It's just not as funny. Yeah.
I've laid in bed. It's not as funny. And like I'll lay in bed and read at night. Yeah. And Sarah will be watching whatever show and she's watched that. And I've kind of half seen a couple episodes and I'm just like, this is garbage.
It's just not.
I can't.
How I Met Your Mother is really, really funny. And this just isn't funny so far.
Yeah. I mean, it made me want to go back and watch How I Met Your Mother again.
Because How I Met Your Mother is great.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's so good.
It is really good.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of TV shows, I've been watching a ton of TV shows this week, actually, though. Good ones. Well, good and bad. And let's get into that for real quick, because there's some cool new like nerd shows out over the last week. Halo, the TV series, has started. Episode 2 dropped last night or this morning, whatever. I don't know when it... I guess technically it's a Friday release, so midnight last night. and Moon Knight has dropped this week, so we've got episode 1 of that one. So have you checked out either one yet?
So... I have watched Moon Knight, and I've not watched Halo, but I won't be on the show next week. I'll be traveling for work, so I'll be in some hotels, so I will catch up. I will definitely be caught up on Halo for our next time I'm on the show, but and I'm going to venture off on another TV series, but I don't know if you saw, but this weekend, Disney announced that they are moving the release date of Obi-Wan
pushing it back 2 days, but releasing the first two episodes.
Yeah, but I'll take, you know, that we get two episodes now, but it's weird that they moved it 2 days. Like, surely it's not a production thing. So it's just weird to me.
Yeah, it's a really odd one.
Wonder what's the why.
Yeah, I mean, they used to release episodes on Fridays and then they moved to Wednesdays,
right?
Which is what Moon Knight is, and now they're moving Obi-Wan back to Friday. So yeah. I can't keep up with it.
I'm wondering if they don't want, because it's going to overlap some with Moon Knight. So I'm wondering if they kind of thought maybe we need to.
Yeah, maybe Moon Knight's season finale is that Wednesday night.
Something. Yeah. Look at it. Well, because Disney has been really good about like basically what they do, you know, with Marvel. You know, they have a series. And it ends, and you have just a few weeks, and then the next one starts. And then you have just a few weeks, and then the next one starts. So they don't give you, you know, a huge gap between them. They do a good job of that.
This says Moon Knight will have 6 episodes, and the finale will be May 4th. Which actually kind of sucks that it's on Star Wars Day.
I was a bit surprised and shocked that they didn't, you know, release Obi-Wan on May 4th.
Yeah, that's Star Wars Day. What is this nonsense? Let's start with... I know you haven't seen it, but let's start with Halo, because that's the bad one, and I want to get the bad one out of the way. Let me tell you, There is almost nothing good about this show. Like, it's not even like a good show if you're a non-Halo fan. Like, there's not a good story.
I'm still gonna watch it so that I can get experience. But yeah,
there's not a good story. There's not good CGI. Mm. There's just garbage voice acting. There's uninteresting characters. Like, not even uninteresting, but actively annoying characters. Like, the best I can explain is, like, how most normal people feel about The Last Jedi, Star Wars Episode 8.
Yeah, okay.
That's the best way I can think to describe this show. Because it's... Dude, and then as a Halo fan, there is some bad shit in this show. Like,
yeah, I've heard that there's some stuff that like breaks story continuing, whatever. Like, it's not like not true to like what Halo lore is, basically.
Yeah, I mean,
one of the things is I've heard they immediately show Master Chief's face.
Yeah, it's not immediate. They show it at the end of the show, like towards the end of the episode.
But yeah, but episode like, one is what I mean. Yeah. Episode one, boom, shows his face.
And what's like even more annoying is they like their producer or whatever came out afterwards and was like, yeah, we felt like it, you know, it was waiting for like the right moment where it earned him removing his helmet. I'm like,
episode one?
You guys fucked that up because just a bratty little child in the back of his Pelican, and she's like, here, let me take my helmet off for you so that you can see that I'm human. I'm like, what?
Right. Yeah.
I don't, this is garbage. I the whole way through the show, I was like, I want to like this. I'm going to find something that I like. And every scene would like add another nail in the like, this is garbage. And I've actually seen some people on Twitter today that are like, oh, I thought the first episode was okay, but man, this one just went off a cliff fast. And I'm like, oh my God, if this one's worse than the one.
So one of the comments that I heard about it was that one of the things that they were like, oh, really? Come on, man. Is so like, there's these aliens that are attacking and you have these Marines with, you know, machine guns, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and they are holding these machine guns and they're shooting at these aliens and nothing's happening. And then boom, Master Chief shows up holding the exact same gun. But now because it's Master Chief and he's shooting the aliens are like and taking damage. It's literally the exact gun, everything.
Yeah.
But because he's holding it, suddenly the bullets do damage.
Yeah. It's like my brother, my brother, he's U.S. Army and he's a police officer. And he says, well, the little resurgent or the rebels are holding AK-47s and Master Chief rolls in with his assault rifle, which according to alien lore or to Halo lore, fires the same caliber bullet as an AK-47. So what's happening here? And then like he even has this Gatling gun on the back of this truck and he's like, gah, 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 gah. And like nothing's happening to the elites. Then like a few minutes later, Master Chief picks up he literally rips the gun off the back of the truck and then just like, and then the elites are just like ripped to shreds. I'm like,
Yeah. He imbues extra power into the bullets, you know?
It's absurd. And it is gory as hell, man. Like, dude, like within like 5 minutes of the first episode, some kid gets their leg like ripped off with a plasma bolt. Oh, really?
A kid?
Yeah. Well, like a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's violent, dude. It is like, and they put a TV-14. I'm like, I don't even think I'd want a 14-year-old watching the show. It's like pretty grotesque, man. But whatever. I don't know. I actually am. I think it's really bad. I think it's really, really bad. And this is coming from the person that like found a lot to like about the Sonic movie and Detective Pikachu and like
those movies though.
And like coming out of the Uncharted movie, I thought it was like excellent.
I haven't seen that.
You know, so you're talking to somebody that just, you know, finds, even if they're like, you know, sevens or whatever, I find reasons to really enjoy video game adaptions to the screen lately. And this one, I feel like, you know, what's his name at Bungie? He's got to be looking at this going, what the fuck did y'all do to my Master Chief and my Halo series here? You guys have totally bombed it.
The other thing I heard too was basically they came out and said, like, look, in the video games, Master Chief works because he doesn't have to talk much and he's all action and he can just like perform. Mm-hmm. But in a show, he has to have dialogue and there has to like be like depth to the character. And so they're like, it's kind of like the whole idea of like how the Mandalorian started off as, you know, someone who has his helmet on, but now, you know, they at some point have to show his face, right? Or it's, and the other thing that it was explained to me is like how Spider-Man, you know, has his, you know, mask on, but basically throughout the show, he gets in fight scenes and has things where you see his face. Like you have actors here, you have to pay them, you're paying for their face, you're paying for their name, etc. You don't want to just have them hidden behind a mask the whole time. And I'm kind of like, okay, I get that. But at the same time, some of our like most iconic characters, you know, for instance, Darth Vader, mm-hmm. Boba Fett originally, like the whole mm-hmm. thing was, is the mystery behind yeah. not knowing much about them, you know, and Darth Vader didn't exactly have a whole lot of lines, you know what I mean? Like yeah. he was just ominous, you know?
But this is the thing, like in the games, you know, by the time you get to the end of Halo 3, there is something so earned about the relationship between Master Chief and Cortana. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're not a big Halo gamer, but like, I'm telling you, like, as someone who grew up with those, like, there is a story there and there is an emotional connection between those two characters. And it is earned by, you know, the interactions that happen between them, everything they go through, and you know, John's, you know, stoicism, his honor, his pursuit of, you know, of nobility, and things like that, and how he breaks down into, you know, someone who ultimately has this caring relationship with an AI, which is kind of a strange thing, right? But that's kind yeah. of where you even start to humanize Cortana herself. And that's why, you know, when 343 started to go in a direction where you could see Cortana dying, where you could see Cortana and Chief separating, it could have been emotional, and then they fucked it up, right? Halo 5 is terrible. But there's something there that you could totally, you know, connect to as a player and with the story. But, you know, this show, it's like immediate. It's like they were like, oh, Master Chief is this badass. Oh, and then all of a sudden this whiny kid who, you know, just had all her family die or whatever. And yeah, now she's going to suddenly break through Chief. And it's just like, it's so unearned and so, like, snap your fingers out of the blue type thing. It's very much like, to me, the way Star Wars was with Rey, and how just it's not earned. Like, you don't understand how you get from A to fucking F, you know, mm-hmm. when the story turns. And that's what is so annoying about it, honestly. And then you've got all these characters with like faux morals, and then I don't know, man. It's like, it's really confusing. Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know how else to explain it. You're just going to have to watch it. Like, you have these people that are like, oh, this guy is moral, but this guy's not. But then this person is kind of moral, but then this person's not. But then this guy, and then this, who's what? Who's straight? Like, it, you can't keep up with it. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
But Moon Knight was pretty good.
Yeah, I know. And I'm rambling. So let's get over to the good show, Moon Knight. And you have watched that one. So what did you think?
So here's what I will say, that I, right off the bat, my first thought, like when the show completed, my first thought, oddly enough, just went to, well, that was the entire trailer. Like when I saw trailers for it, the trailer, like what was good was there was enough mystery / action in the very first episode that I don't know that there was a single thing in the trailer that was shown that wasn't in episode one. Mm-hmm. So now I know nothing for the rest of the season.
Right.
Like, but at the same time, it, like when I watched the trailer, it's so like jumping around all over the place. And there's things where it looks like he's in action and it shows him like as a hero, and it shows, like, and you get that it's going to be kind of a mysterious and he's going to have personality, but he looks like in the places he's, you know, in the city and places he's out in the country and all this kind of stuff. And so you're thinking like, okay, this is going to take place. These are little snippets of the whole series, the whole mm-hmm. season. And then it all happens in the first episode, which is to me a credit to like how diverse that first episode was. But at the same time, I don't feel like they gave away the first episode. You know what I mean? Like, so mm-hmm. I don't know. I was just impressed with every single part of what was in the trailer was in that episode. And I still felt entertained. I didn't feel like they gave it away. And now I completely have no idea what's going to show up or happen in the rest of the shows. Like, that was my first initial thought anyway, was like, well, that was really good. And wow, they were able to pack, like, just this one episode was so good. They built an entire trailer on it, you know?
Yeah.
And didn't give it away.
So I felt like this show was somewhat of a understanding that if you drag on your intro a little too long, mm-hmm. looking at you, WandaVision, that you can kind of leave people kind of going, what am I watching type thing.
Yeah.
So I felt like they realized that they needed to earn how Oscar Isaac's character gets from A to B or F in my previous analogy, but they earn it across this episode without taking like too long to get there.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that. Like, I enjoyed, you know, here's this like normal dude and you're like, okay, what's going on with him? Okay. He has dreams. Maybe he turns into something at night. And then it's like, right. Oh no, shit. What's going on? He's got like split personality. Like, what is happening? And then like you see him, you know, devolving and kind of going a little bit mad as he's starting to ask questions about what's happening with him.
Right. And then he starts to physically hear the voices.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I kind of felt like I was almost with him on that descent. And so I think they did a really good job with the episode and how they played it out.
I'm not a Moon Knight historian, right? Like, I don't really know the story of Moon Knight, right?
So I've literally never heard of Moon Knight.
Well, I'd heard of him before. I knew him. But I just, you know, I didn't follow his comics. So what I don't know... and someone who knows Moon Knight better may already know this kind of stuff. But what I can't tell from the show is, so at this point, he has, you know, what they call the idiot running the show, right? The the guy who is working at the museum and...
Stephen Grant.
Stephen, there you go. Yeah. And then there's the strong guy who seems like he knows what's going on. Mark, who seems like he knows what's going on. And then the other voice that you're hearing seems to not necessarily be one of his personalities, more so it's like a Egyptian deity or something, right?
Listen, it is the voice from the Stanley Parable, or that's what it seems like to me. You know, like, you know, those games like Stanley Parable, where you have this narrator that talks over the character and he like recognizes. Yeah. I don't know what this God voice is.
Maybe you've seen the character a few times. You know, like when he was like in the bus and he goes by, he like sees the character standing there holding that staff. Yeah.
Is that the God character? Uh-huh. Are you, okay. Yeah. That I was a little unsure.
From what I could tell, that's the way it's viewed to me. So
I couldn't tell if that was related to his character or if it was related to,
no, I think it's related to his character. Yeah. Not Ethan Hawke. Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if it was related to his,
because Ethan Hawke's, EAD is basically raw. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, it's the like wolf dog person, is my understanding. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, so, I don't know this. So it's going to be interesting to tell. So here's the two things that I kind of think, you know, one is a question. So does he only have the two personalities and then the like deity who's involved, right, in giving him his power, or are there going to end up being even more personalities, as we go into the season? Because for now, it's just the two and the deity, right? And the deity basically talks to them and you know, does things with them. So, and then the next thing is, at the very end, when he sees Mark in the mirror and Mark is talking to him, and he's kind of talking back, Mark is saying, like, stop looking. Stop trying to find such and such. And stop, you know, just let us take control. So it's like Sam is like, almost, to me, the way I picked it up, Sam was almost playing dumb. But
you mean Steven?
Sorry, Steven. Yeah. Steven is almost playing dumb, right? And almost like he knows more than he's letting on to. Like he is scared and he is doesn't know what's going on. And I do think he's lost, but mm-hmm. he knows something's going on with because he was reading all those books. He mm-hmm. does definitely, you know, knowingly like latch himself down, right? And he tapes the door and he puts down sand. He knows something's going on.
Right.
He's keeping them at his best ability. He's keeping them away. But he's like searching through like Egyptian texts and books and trying to like find something. So he knows what's going on, but he's acting like he totally doesn't know what's going on. So, and Mark basically calls him out on it. Like, stop searching, stop trying to do X or whatever. Just let me take control. You know, you're causing problems. So there's, we're going to learn more about that, but that's my thoughts anyway.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm interested to see what they do with like an Egyptian type setting. I find myself sometimes fascinated by Egyptian mythology.
Yeah.
And sometimes not.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I will see how this grabs me. I mean, maybe this will finally get me to play Assassin's Creed Origins. I know they're totally not related. But that is how I ended up playing. I mean, so I was watching the Viking show and then Valhalla came out and I was like, well, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. So all I'm saying is the Egyptian god stuff is interesting as an imagery. And so I'm intrigued by the show from that perspective and see what they do with it because I don't know. I just think it's somewhat cool. But as I said, I think the show and how they wrote it, how it plays out, how the character moves through the scenes and gets from point A to B is interesting and earned and was an enjoyable ride through episode one. So, you know, whatever the final place that he ends up in at the end of episode six, I'm intrigued to see how we get there. You know, like you said, is it more personalities? Does he, you know, does he learn to get on with Mark and acknowledge him? And do they have this back and forth, like, you know, Bruce Banner and the Hulk does, or like sort what of. Happens yeah. here, you know? But yeah, I don't know. Should be good. I'm intrigued. I'm excited to watch episode two, unlike Halo, where I can't bring myself to watch Halo 2 or episode two. So, all right. Well, should we get into some video games talk?
Yeah. What are you playing? Right. Or me? You want me to go?
No. I'm gonna take us there. You know, I'm gonna send us on the ride.
Oh,
I'm gonna take
sorry.
Us on the journey, like we always do.
Because
you know what?
Ahead.
Each and every week, we do get together to channel our virtues through the Triforce to provide you, the listener, all the hottest topics from the mythical world of video games. We add in as much of our colorful thoughts and fill up monologues as you can handle in a week, simply because we love video games and discussing them. If you like what you hear, please consider subscribing on your podcasting app of choice. And if you really enjoy it, please share on social media or directly with your friends, because that's how the show grows, to your wonderful support. You can find us on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at TriCastGamingP1 and on our website, TriCastGamingPodcast.com. All right, let's get into what we have been playing. I will kick it off with Tunic, and then I'll go to Destiny, and that should be a good segue to you because I know you've been playing a little bit of Destiny as well. So Tunic, first of all, I talked about this game last week. It had an awesome first 10 to 12 hours, and then it just decided to tank itself for some unknown reason. You basically get to the very end, and you have to run a boss gauntlet with the power that you had at the start of the game. And it is infuriating. Absolutely infuriating. It's like six parts. I think the farthest I got was like part three. And I couldn't do it. So I had to give up. I mean, this is like probably the only game that I've ever like just had to give up because of difficulty. I just couldn't. Felt like I was beating my head on a wall. I'd been there for several hours and I couldn't get through this boss gauntlet. And, I think that's a real shame. You know, it'd be one thing if like you get to the end of the game and you see the completion of the story and then you like go to that room behind it and it's this boss gauntlet. And if you complete it, then you get the extra ability and then you can explore the world more. Yeah. You know, then there's that extra content, but like to do that the step before the final boss just is baffling to me because I kind of didn't get to see the completion of the story.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a bad game design, in honesty. You know, I don't like games that have you build up your character all the way to the very end and then just strip it all away from you. And then to then also on top of that, throw you into a boss gauntlet after stripping all of that away from you is just mind-blowing to me. I am baffled by that as a decision in this game. So yeah, I mean, it probably took it from like, I mean, I was really high on this game. Like I probably would have given it 4 tryhards to, you know, I mean, I guess I'll give it 3 tryhards. I mean, it's not a bad game, but you know, I don't know if I would run
out. Poor design at the end.
Yeah. So really disappointing there with that. Cause otherwise I love the, like absolutely love the first 10 to 12 hours of Tunic. It was really, really good. Definitely a callback to the old school Zeldas. But then, what I've been playing mostly this week, is Destiny 2. And I haven't gotten to play a lot the last few days. It's been a really, really crazy week, but I did play a lot on Sunday night and Monday night of Destiny 2. And I've got to say, it's hooking me. I've had a lot of fun with being back in the Destiny world and the gameplay loop of Destiny, and the story that they've got going on right now is engaging enough. You're trying to figure out, you know, where Savathun got the, got the ability to control the light to some degree. And that's really, I mean, that's intriguing to me as a story arc. The gameplay loop again is just really fun just to be back in that. And I know some people never left it, but I did. And so just kind of being back in and having fun with that. I will say there are so many menus in this game. I know I said it last week too.
There are. I agree with that.
It's just absurd how many menus they got going on. Crazy stuff. But yeah, that's what I've been doing with.
It's like pop-ups. Like, the store is new. Go here. Do this. Yeah. Do that. And you can't. And what the problem is they like pop up in the middle of like a strike,
right?
And you're like fighting, and they're like spamming your screen, and they won't go away until you physically go through every last step of it. And I'm like, I'm in the middle of trying not to die. Get the fuck out and of I've the way.
I've had them like bug out to where like I would go through all the steps and then they just stay there. They won't go
off.
Same
thing happened to me. The only way they go away is going back to orbit for whatever reason.
I've had it happen 2 or 3 times since I started playing again.
I agree. That is a weird spot. So I only have about 8. So I just now looked. I only played it one. I only played it one day. And I have 8.5 hours played.
Sounds like you had a lot of fun that one day.
So, I think the like main story is like 8 missions or 8, which I mean, again, the first one took like 2.5 hours, right? Like, the first one's brutal, but there's like 8 and I'm on like 6 of 8.
Okay. I don't know. So, I just remember like, I'm in step 2 of the main story quest.
That's what I'm talking about. The main story quest. There's only like 8 steps.
Okay. Well, I'm in step 2, but I'm in part like 10 of 19 for step 2.
Oh, okay. Well, there's like 8 main like quests. That's it. Like there may be multiple steps. There's 8 main. I'm in 6 of 8.
Okay.
And I'm 8.5 hours in. So, if that tells you anything. So.
Yeah, I probably have played.
And I've done the entire thing on Legendary. So,
by yourself?
No, it was me, Mike, and my neighbor.
Oh, okay.
So, Mike's pissed at me because he's been asking us to get into Destiny this whole time, and I've not gone back. And then my neighbor's like, "Yeah, so I play a lot of Destiny, and I immediately buy it." And he's like, "So I know where I stand now, right?"
Yeah.
You only bought it because of your neighbor, not me. And I'm like, "All right, well, look, to be fair, he was wanting to play it." And I'm like, all right, well, Mike plays it, so it'll be fine because now, you know, and I knew that you had gotten into it. And I'm like, all right, there's a group playing it. Fine.
Yeah.
I'll do it. So anyway, yeah.
I don't know. I've probably already played 8.5 hours and I'm not nearly that far. I mean, I'm playing with my dad, who I spoke about last week on the show.
We're definitely crushing it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not necessarily crushing it. That's for sure. But I'm having fun with it. Now, we had another whatever bug or something that happened where, like, we went to play the other night and I was like, all right, Dad, what step are you on the quest? And he's like, 3 of 10. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, 3 of 10. I'm on 10 of, or
and we've 3 of 19. Together.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm on 10 of 19 and we've been playing together. So we had to go back and redo a bunch of stuff. Huh. Even though we played it, it just for some reason wasn't tracking in his quest log. I don't know what we did wrong, why it didn't track that, but
huh.
Yeah. So, I mean, we lost a night, you know, an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes of replaying a bunch of content because, yeah, we somehow screwed up and it wasn't tracking it. But I don't know. I'm having a lot of fun with it. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I mean, if at this point, Destiny 2 has been out for a long time. If you haven't been interested in checking it out, I don't know that you're going to run out and jump into it now.
Well, I mean, but, I just did, but, you know, so maybe there's still some people here and there. But
maybe look, there is, if you got enough friends.
There's some quality of life things since Witch Queen first came out. I think it happened, like, at the end of Witch Queen. But, like, the fact that shaders are now permanent, like you don't have like a number of them,
right? That is very cool. Yeah,
I like that part.
Halo, you should take note,
right? Yeah. So like now it's just like if you have that shader, you have that shader, right? Like, mm-hmm. There's some quality of life things like that that are like, okay, I like that. Yeah. But yeah, I'll definitely play it some more, but obviously I'm about to leave and be gone for a week, so we'll see. But
yeah.
You know, definitely playing as legendary. I can tell you my gear is definitely going up quickly. I'll say that.
I can't remember what I was like 1490 or something like that already.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know like the raid recommends 1520, so there's probably a soft cap at 1500 or something like that.
I'm pretty close to 1500 right now. So,
yeah. Then you have to start doing the weekly stuff to start grinding that gear to get up above. Yeah.
Yep. So that's kind of how it's always been with Destiny. So,
yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's okay so far. You know, it's funny. My neighbor sent me a bunch of pictures of like statues and stuff he has in his office because I made the comment of like, you know, this would be a whole lot better if Cade was around. And he was like, yeah. Hell yeah. And he sent me all of his Cade statues.
Yeah, you know? I miss Cade.
You know, because I think what happened is in the story, something happened where something was like, they were like, nothing is, you know, impossible and this and that. And I was like, if nothing's impossible, then bring back Cade.
Right? I mean, he was an exo anyway.
Right. I'm like, just bring him back, you know. And I think I said something along the lines of like, I love Ghost and all, but freaking give me Cade as my ghost.
Can I have? Yeah, that'd be dope. I would love a ghost that's.
And Mike actually, Mike was like, "No, I want Failsafe." I'm like, that's pretty good too.
Yeah, there you go. That would be pretty sweet.
So the other things I've been doing. So look, Elden Ring has been great, but I think Mike told you where I fall with it. The big thing is there is no, you know, there's no like quest log or story log or anything. You just like free roam and go out and just kind of are like willy nilly in it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just been difficult for me to like hang on to it for that reason. I have fun while I'm playing it. It's just, it feels like one of those games where you're like, okay, well now what? Where do I go? Like there's no direction to the game, right? Like none. And like at no point is it like, you should go to this castle. Like no, you just go places and it's either too hard or it's not, you know what I mean? Or like, there's just not a lot of like direction to the game. So, it's been fun, but I'm just bored of it because of that reason. And I have officially uninstalled it from my computer. I'll say that. So it's good, but that's where I'm at.
I hear these people like, just, it seems like everybody I listen to is like, oh, you know, I hope that there's a shift in open world games now, finally, where we get this. And I'm like, dude, if that's what happens, I might not ever play another open world game because I can't take the directionless, wandering. Like, I get that if it like if you're like wanting to immerse yourself in a world, I understand like things like GTA Online are cool to people because they can literally like live in that world and they can
even
explore
GTA Online has like you open up a map and there's like all these objective points and you can click them and there's quests and there's things. This is just like, all right, there's a map and you know, there's points on it that you can teleport to, but that's it. Like,
yeah,
that, there's nothing else clickable, nothing else directional, nothing. Like, just, all right, go try it, figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, which is cool. If you want to like get into a game and like explore and like, basically feel like you're a real life, you know, RPG where you don't know and you're just trying stuff out, right? Instead of being pointed in directions, that's for you. So a funny part of the, like I say, RPG, I listen to, or I watch a lot of like TikTok and stuff, and it's become like a reused like voiceover sound that's being used on a lot of Elden Ring, little TikToks. And it's somebody complaining and they're kind of yelling at the screen. They're like, I know Elden Ring is supposed to be an RPG. And if that's the case, what role am I playing? Am I the fucking victim? Like, is that the role I've been given? I'm the victim. So anyway, it was good. I still own it. Who knows? I could, you know, always go back to it. But for now, it's uninstalled. I don't plan to go back to it right now. But I have been playing a lot of Fortnite. With some buddies, not so much with my kid. Fortnite removed the building. So there is no more building in Fortnite right now. Like, none.
I heard that. Yeah.
There's data mining that's gone on to say that, Fortnite will be a permanent mode once the season ends and it gets brought back. So there'll be like a mode that you can go into, that'll be no building, but, I'm actually having fun because there is no building. So it's been pretty good actually.
Yeah.
I like it.
I've never been much of a fan for the building aspect.
No, yeah. Ninja, who is a Fortnite dude, like Ninja basically is synonymous with Fortnite. Like Ninja made Fortnite and Fortnite made Ninja. He straight up is on his stream now, is quoted as saying, I'll never go back to building. Ninja, who is like, plays the shitload out of Fortnite and is like knows building, knows all the stuff, and is like, I will never go back to building ever. Like, I'm done. So it's just, there's people who like it, but I hate it. I mean, so good riddance. I'm happy that it's gone for now. When it comes back, I'll definitely not play it on the other version. And that's it. That's what I've been playing. So
interesting. Yeah. I was searching here while you were kind of talking about this. I was just looking up PlayStation trophy percentages for Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Just because I was curious, like, how far are people getting into this game? Yeah. And it's really interesting because I think there's, you know, there must be bosses that are pretty upfront. So like. So round table hold arrived at the round table hold.
That's like super early story.
Yeah. So that's like that, like, hub world that it's the same as like Bloodborne's, Hunter's Dream, I think, essentially. Mm-hmm. Where you go and you have some vendors and you can talk to people and everything like that. So that's 88%. So I guess most people that play out of 10 people playing the game are getting there.
Yeah.
And then you look at, so I know one of the early bosses, I've heard this name frequently, Margit the Fell Omen. 82% of players have beaten Margit
the
Fell Omen.
That's like the first boss that you're meant to get to at the first castle.
Right. Okay. So 8 out of 10 players have beaten that boss.
Yeah.
But then, so you have Godric. Has 75%. But then after that, it's like basically most of the trophies are around 50%. Mm-hmm. And then they start dropping to like 30, 40% of people.
Well,
like,
again, it's like, where are these bosses? How do you get to the bosses? How do you know to find the boss?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, That's where I was at. Like, it just started to get to where it's like, okay, well, now what? You know?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
If I'd have been pointed to some of these bosses, I could have gone and got them, but I don't know where they are.
Yep. So, like, I mean, I don't know what the last boss would be. You know, have you done any looking to see, like...
No. So there's one that starts with an R that's a big end boss that people are all saying is really hard. Radahn or...
Radahn. Okay, yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Radahn.
He has these big swords.
Trying to see... Okay, so if I go to...
He's not the final boss, but he's one of the big bosses. It's supposedly really hard and has some of the best, you know, weapons and stuff.
Okay, so main bosses, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Wow, there's a lot of main bosses. I'm guessing, I'm assuming these are in order. So let's say Radahn of the Golden Order is the last one. So is let's look and see. He's the last one in the
list.
He's
not the I know he's not the quote unquote final boss.
Okay, he's not.
Well, I mean, maybe not of he might be of the story, quote unquote, but there are bosses that are bigger, badder than him. I know that.
Okay.
From watching streamers.
Okay. I'm trying to find his trophy, Radahn. Okay, so that can't be right because that one's higher than most others. This is great content here, folks. Whatever. Listen. So basically, what I'm trying to get at is that it seems like people can get to a certain point in the game and then it just falls off a cliff.
That's what's happened with me. I fell off because there's no direction of where to go.
So you're down to 3 or 4 out of 10 players are actually getting that. So I think you're effectively at that point, you're the people that play these games anyway are the ones that are getting to those points. But really where I'm going with this, and I'll wrap up here and we'll get on to the rest of the show, is just that I've heard a lot of people that keep running this whole this is going to change open world games forever. And I hope that all these people, blah, blah, blah. I really hope that, for the most part, open world games don't follow this path.
I don't think they are.
You can go somewhere in between and not hold my hand so absurdly like some open world games do.
Yeah.
But you can't be directionless. It'd be like if there was a Mandalorian show where it's like you just follow Mando going to the grocery store, the Walmart of Tatooine. And then he's at the bar and he gets a drink. And then he goes in and presses the stamp at the factory a few times. And then he's back at the Walmart and then he's home. And it's all right, that's the Mandalorian show.
Yeah.
It's why am I following this person around? I have no reason to.
Yeah.
It's not interesting. There's not a drive in the show to see what happens next. And, you know, when you just give someone the keys to just run around and, yeah, maybe people will really get a lot out of just exploring and uncovering stuff, but other people will be but why am I exploring? Why do I want to be here wandering around?
Right.
What's my reason? What's my drive?
Well, and I know there is more story, but one of my things that I was a bit it's just a bit weird to me, is they kind of upsold this whole idea that, you know, the author of Game of Thrones wrote the story for this. There doesn't feel like there's much story.
Yeah.
It's I get so little. And I'm just
We paid him $20 million to put his name on this game so people will buy it.
Yeah. I mean, there is story. It's just not there's not a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And please, people, listen, I'm a huge fan of Dark Souls. I get that the way Soulsborne games
dish out story. And it's a well-made game.
Yeah, and I get that the way that they dish out story is different to most games. And maybe if I play Elden Ring, I'll get it and it'll be enjoyable to me. I don't know.
But this is my first Dark Souls game.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is you've got to give people a reason to want to keep going.
Yeah.
That's really important. I think that's something that games like Bloodborne and Sekiro actually did nail a whole lot better than the Souls series for me as a Souls fan. So I don't know. All right. Should we get into yep. the topics of the show? We've done a lot of wandering around games and shows and stuff, but hey, it's what we're into this week. And we're just giving you what's on our minds, folks. Topic of the show, though, let's get on to it. PlayStation Spartacus has officially been revealed. They're not calling it Spartacus, but, obviously. Yeah,
I was about to say, Spartacus was like the code name at this point. Yeah. They're full on abandoned it. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, so basically what we've learned is that Spartacus is just the new revamped PlayStation Plus, and really all PlayStation Plus is they took PlayStation Plus, and they took PlayStation Now, and they put them together, and they just called it PlayStation Plus, and they have three tiers to it.
To that extent, it's not too unsimilar to what Xbox did with Gold and Game Pass.
I mean, they still have Xbox Games with Gold, and there is still Xbox Gold, and then there is Game Pass. I don't feel like they've ever properly mashed the two together, honest.
Remind me, though, there was, what were the services, what service did they get rid of? There was a service they got rid of. Was it Live and Gold, or?
I think you're mistaking some rumors that they were going to get rid of.
Maybe
of
I'm
Live,
mistaking. Okay.
And they never have. And so maybe this will help put some pressure on it. But let's step off Xbox for a minute and let's just kind of go through what was announced, and then we can kind of talk about some of the discussion around it. So there will be three tiers now: Essential, Extra, and Premium. Essential will be Plus as we know it today. That means discounts, free games to download every month, online multiplayer access. Those kinds of things. This will cost you $9.99 a month, $24.99 a quarter, or $59.99 a year. That is the same as the current pricing for PlayStation Plus. It's now just going to be called Essential, and it will be the bottom tier of the new PlayStation Plus array of options available to you. Next will be Extra. So Extra will provide everything from Essential and an additional library of 400 games from the PlayStation 4 and 5 era. This is partly what PlayStation Now offered before it was folded into the subscription. So these were the games that you could actually download onto your console and play. They're going to take those and they're going to put it in this middle tier of PlayStation Plus Extra. And that will be $14.99 a month, $39.99 a quarter, or $99.99 a year. So that $14.99 price tag puts it at the same amount that Xbox Game Pass Ultimate currently sits at. And finally, there will be a premium tier, which is where PC games will be able to get in on the fun. Essential and extra benefits are included, of course, and then another 340 games on top of that library, which expands into the PlayStation 3, PlayStation 2, PlayStation, and PSP era of games. These will be available via cloud streaming. Some, I think I've heard, will be available via download, but not all of them, especially the PlayStation 3 games. Those will be only streaming. So this tier also allows players on PC to stream games, as well as those that own PS4s and PS5s, so you can stream on your console. Premium will also allow players to use a game trial system, which will allow customers to try games before purchasing them. The premium tier is going to cost $17.99 a month, $49.99 a quarter, or $119.99 a year. So that $17.99 per month price tag is the most expensive of any of these subscription services between Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo that we've seen on the market. But if you do purchase it as a yearly price at $119.99, that's effectively $10 a month. So maybe there will be, you know, Black Friday deals or something for that card, and you can get it for a little bit cheaper. It should be noted that cloud streaming is not available in every location around the world. So there's also a fourth tier in certain territories under the name Deluxe, which will be cheaper and offer just games which are available to download in the premium tier. So that's what the service is going to offer. Let's start with what they've announced specifically and the content that's available here. What was your initial thought when you saw this put out?
Well, look, the problem is when you put this out, it immediately draws comparison to Game Pass, because Game Pass was, you know, first, right? So my first initial thought is, okay, well, how does this compare to Game Pass? And what does it mean for me, a non-PlayStation guy, right? Like, okay, right. So the only access, because currently as it stands today, the only access I have to PlayStation exclusive games that I would love to play, for instance, Horizon Zero Dawn and Days Gone, you know, those games that I have enjoyed is on Steam. Well, they hit Steam, you know, 2 years after they released or whatever, right? Like I get them way late. So that's kind of been my access. So to me, the only thing as a PC gamer that matters at all then is the premium. Okay.
Right.
So, which costs more than what, you know, Ultimate cost me.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have 0 day ones.
Right. So you're still going to be getting games late.
Yeah. So I'll still be getting games late.
And you'll have to stream them only on PC.
And I have to stream them. That was exactly right. So whereas on Game Pass, I can download them and then they're on my system and I have no lag or delay or, you know, streaming games. Yeah, it's okay, but it's just not the same. You know, there's specific types of games that streaming is horrible on. Like if there's anything that's multiplayer or like, especially that is like versus multiplayer. Oh, you forget it. If you're the streamer and they're live, you're toast. You're done.
Yeah.
You will not win. And so, it's just worse to me. Like everything about it is like, okay. And it's like, basically what they're doing is to me, they're filling their library here with, all right, cool. We're making you pay to have access to all of our backwards compatibility. And that's our library. Our library, what you're paying for, it's almost kind of the like Nintendo route, more so than the Game Pass route, where Nintendo basically is like, hey, you can pay our service and then have access to our old Nintendo titles. That's more of what PlayStation is doing. So to me, it's more of a comparison to Nintendo's service than it is the Game Pass service. And ultimately, I'll just tell you, I'm not going to pay for this service. I'm not going to pay more for something that does not benefit me. Like I would rather just buy the titles I actually want on Steam, because essentially I'll get them on this premium at the same time about that they most likely hit Steam. Like maybe, I don't know, maybe they'll come a year later instead of 2 years later.
Right.
But then I just buy the ones I exactly want instead of spending $120 for the year waiting for them to show up. Like it just doesn't, and then play them on cloud. Like it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, that's the thing that's wild to me. So there's several things I want to break down here. The first is that there is nothing about what is being offered here that is not currently available on PlayStation, except for maybe the PSP games. So if you go and subscribe to PlayStation Now, right now, you will have access to be able to stream PlayStation, PlayStation 2, and PlayStation 3 games. You have a full library. The cost of PlayStation Now per year is $60. The cost of PlayStation Plus is $60. So literally all they've done is taken those two services, smashed them together with the same price, and said, here, it's under the PlayStation Plus premium banner. There's nothing different about this. And let me tell you, right now, the PlayStation Now streaming of some of those old games doesn't work most of the time. It's not good. It's not a fun experience. And so people that have already been trying it out and seeing that it sucks, it's not like you're getting some new service that's going to suddenly work right now.
Right.
That's not the way this is going to be. It's just, there's something really odd here in what they're presenting. It's almost just like, well, we have these services. They kind of exist compartmentalized from each other. One of them's not doing very well. One of them is. So let's just try to mash them together and call it the one that's doing well and see if more people will pay for it.
Right.
That's really all this feels like. Now, I do appreciate the fact that they went with the extra tier as well. So you kind of have a mid tier where if you really only care about PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 games and you really do want that big library of games, you don't have to pay all the way to the premium tier. So that's probably where I'll fall is in that $100 a year extra tier, because I think there will probably be something worth it there for me. But yeah, that's just the pricing and what they're offering here. They're not really giving you a whole lot more to jump in with this.
Yeah. So the other thought I had too is, you know, again, I very much sound so anti PlayStation and so pro Game Pass, but I just truly believe that Game Pass is the best deal in gaming, right? Like,
right.
I just believe that. And so, you know, some of the other things, and this loops back into like Halo, is, you know, Game Pass has all these additional extras where like you get, you know, a free month of Disney Plus when you are on it, and you get a free month of Paramount Plus, and you get a free amount of, there's like all these other perks that come along with Game Pass. Mm-hmm. And even if it is just like, okay, this is only for like a month, but it's just, it's like additional things that just Game Pass just continues to just add on to their, you know, their pros, if you will. Like, there's just additional content or reasons to be a part of it. And yeah. I just don't feel like I get that stuff with, I mean, and the other thing is like Game Pass is pretty much for its entire existence. You sign up as a first time member and you get the first month for a dollar, right? Like that's pretty much always been around, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so I guess to address some of the things that you were mentioning there, like I've gotten, I got a whole year, not just 1 month. I got a whole year free of Apple TV through PlayStation.
Okay. Plus. Yeah. That's not on now. Hulu has a 2 month free trial. I'm looking at them right now. Okay. So Paramount is a 30 day. Hulu is a 2 month. These are the current active ones. Spotify is 4 months. Ad-free music on Spotify for 4 months. If you're a Smite player, you get season 9 for free. There's a bunch of like loot that you get with like Apex and UFC and a bunch of other games here that I, whatever. You get Marvel Unlimited for 3 months, which basically is access to like every Marvel comic that like basically exists, period. Like you have full access. I mean, there's a bunch of other stuff on top of the games.
Yeah. And I think like, I mean, I don't know what Plus is offering right now. It's not that many different things, but there have been other things that have been offered with Plus. It's not non-existent on their side. They definitely have, like, you know, you were mentioning about how Smite players can get, they definitely have had stuff like that every month that I've seen on PlayStation Plus. I'm trying to go to the subscriptions page on PlayStation Plus and see what
they have. Okay.
Yeah. So like you can get Fortnite Celebration Pack. You can get items in Fortnite.
Okay. So they there's
Warzone thing. There's an Apex Legends costume pack. There's a Rocket League thing, Brawlhalla. Yeah. So like they have a bunch of stuff in Plus as well that you can do. When you have that, and then they have exclusive discounts and Plus, like you can buy Rainbow Six Extraction for 50% off right now if you're a Plus member. They have things like that that go with Plus. So I mean, I don't want to say that doesn't exist as well, but if we really want to try to take the comparison between the two, let's think about Game Pass and the fact that you get day one releases. So you know that if you pay $120 for that year, that you're going to get at least two games day one that you might have normally paid $60 for, that you're going to get and you're going to play through that service.
Yeah.
So already you can say, okay, like what I'm paying for right now, I know I'm going to use, and then all the other stuff I can look at as extra free stuff that makes it worth it to have this around. When you look at the $120 for the PlayStation Plus premium tier, I'm like, what can you point to that says like I'm already getting my $120 back and everything else is bonus stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can, there's nothing you can point to there because you don't get day one releases. And that's where I quickly start seeing the service become more of like a, how do we extract money out of our players, without having to do as much work for it.
Right.
Right.
Without giving away our stuff, they still want to, you know, Xbox makes Halo. It's their premium game. It's their premier game. And it's included day one right off the bat on their mm-hmm. service. Whereas PlayStation will want to turn around and do the exact same thing and be like, we want you to pay $60 for this.
Yeah, they want to get that $120 a year subscription from you, and then they also want you to buy $140 to $210 worth of games on top of your $120 yearly subscription. Mm-hmm. That's what PlayStation want, and that's where it starts to feel like, you know, it starts to feel a bit like, how do I draw blood out of a stone from my players? You know, that's what it starts to feel like, especially when it's like, hey, if you want backwards compatibility, you got to pay us for it. You know, where on the flip side, you know, Xbox was like, yeah, we'll figure it out. You just put in your old Xbox disc into your console and we'll let you download the game from the store.
Yeah.
You know, so I definitely think that there's, I don't know. I'm not excited by this. I don't read this and go, oh no way, I can't wait to subscribe to this, you know?
Right.
That's the real problem. And then we get into some of the conversation around it, you know, with Jim Ryan saying that if Sony released their games in PlayStation Plus day one, that they would suffer. And to me, this is preying on people that want to believe this. Right. And want to run around and say, oh yeah, no, I have to pay Sony $70 for the new games, because if I don't, their games would just be shit. Oh yeah? I'm looking at you, Gran Turismo 7, right now. Because I just paid $70 for you, and guess what? You're shit. And that's not a game that's even in some service.
Right.
So to me, like, this is total BS from him. I don't know what you feel on it, but I read this and I wanted to throw up. I was like, this is taking advantage of people.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the anti-PlayStation guy, so I'm not trying to harp too much. It's just, I just don't think it's a good deal. I don't think it's, like you said, it's the mashing of two things together. I don't feel like there's anything additional that you're getting here. It's crazy to me that they are not offering as much content or quality of content as far as like day one stuff. They're basically essentially just throwing in backwards compatibility is their library, right? Old games that they have had their cycle of life and people aren't buying, you know, new anyway. That's the stuff now that they're putting in as the library. They're making you, you know, it's worse and that they're making you do it cloud instead of, you know, letting you download it. Like, there's just all these things that are worse, and they have a service that costs more. And I'm like,
right,
I don't understand it. So it's just, to me, it's just not a good deal. I absolutely will not pay for it. And that's kind of where I stand.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already paying for PlayStation Plus Essential, right?
Right.
The year, because that's my, you know, online access and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So paying an extra $40 to potentially get a bunch of PS4 and PS5 games as well, is not a big deal to me. I know I would get some value out of that, but I'm on PlayStation.
Right.
And I like being on PlayStation. I like playing. I mean, that's where I do most of my gaming, except for playing Rocket League and Destiny with you guys. So, you know, there is something there for me, but I still just feel like I don't know how you can even begin to look at this alongside Game Pass.
Yeah.
And then people are like, people somehow are trying to spin it like, oh, this is a definitive shot across the bow from Sony that the future is not Netflix of gaming. And all I have to say to those people is just read what Jim Ryan is saying. And let me read it to you. He says, first of all, he says, we feel, so he's talking about, games in the service day one. And he says, this is not a road that we've gone down in the past, and it's not a road that we're going to go down with this new service. We feel if we were to do that with the games that we make at PlayStation Studios, that virtuous cycle will be broken. The level of investment that we need to make in our studios would not be possible. And we think the knock-on effects of the quality of the games that we would make would not be something that gamers would want. And then immediately turns around and says, it starts talking about changing environment and says, who would have said even 4 years ago that you would see AAA PlayStation IP being published on PC? We've had great critical success and great commercial success, and everybody has made their peace with that happening and is completely at ease with it. I look back 4 years ago, and I think nobody would have seen that coming. All I'm talking to do today is that we're approaching, the approach we're taking is the short term. The approach we're taking is the short term. Mm-hmm. The way our publishing model works right now, it doesn't make any sense. But things can change very quickly in this industry, as we all know. So he's literally saying, Netflix of games doesn't make sense for us right now. But things can change very quickly in this industry, as we all. So anybody on social media right now or talking on their podcast or whatever that are saying this is some definitive shot across Xbox that we're not going to do Netflix of gaming, you guys are not paying attention if you think that. He's saying it right now that as soon as that makes sense for them to do, they'll change. That's what he's saying. So, you know, don't eat up all of this stuff. So don't eat up.
The only thing positive that I can say that I read about this, and I linked an article to our group talking about this where I was like, look, I know I'm going to be super negative on this and I don't want to totally be negative. So here's like a sort of positive article on it. And I'll just read the one thing on here that I'm like, okay, I do agree with that. Okay. And this was basically talking to the creating value for this pass. And so I'm going to just read the quote here or the line from the article. It says, while it's easy to look at PlayStation Plus Premium as a competitor to Game Pass, that isn't really how things work. Sony doesn't have to convince most people that PlayStation Plus is a better deal than what Microsoft is offering on its own platform. Instead, Sony only needs to present an exciting value for people who are already in the PlayStation ecosystem. And so, I mean, and that's in quote. To that, me and you have already said, you're saying like, yeah, I'll just basically sort of upgrade my service. They're going to like draw an extra, what, $5 a month out of you? Mm-hmm. Whereas to me, I wasn't in it already and I'm not going to be in it now. So to that, maybe they're just pulling a little bit more money out of the people that are already getting, right? Like,
yeah.
So basically what this article is saying, and they do at least in this article, then turn a little bit later and still say, still, the appeal of these services is that they are easy to justify. For the cost of only two games, you can't get so much. But I was hoping for so much more than what we are getting. So he's even kind of saying like, ah, I mean, even in the article, they're like, I don't think it's that much. But I guess what I'm saying is like, you know, look, I wasn't paying PlayStation before, and I'm definitely not now. And then you were, and then you're going to pay them a little bit more. So maybe that's all they're doing is to them, they're just going, okay, we already have all of these, like you said, PlayStation, you know, plus people, and, you know, not many PlayStation now. And so we'll just kind of smash them together and draw slightly more money out of them. And maybe more people will upgrade to the premium, et cetera. So I don't know. But to that route, maybe it's successful because that's their target is PlayStation people, not, you know, Xbox people or PC gamers. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. That's a bit weird though, because they know, and I mean, they're talking about it, right? So they know that people are going to compare the two services.
Sure.
So it's a bit weird to kind of walk yourself into that position and then just kind of be like, you know, hands up like, you know, we're not really trying to compete with them, even though we know that you're going to compare the two. But like, we're just trying to get some more money out of the people that's aren't. Like, that's just literally what he's just said.
Yeah.
He's just said, we're just trying to get more money out of the people that are already here.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's, I mean, I don't know. Let me flip hats here for a second. As a PlayStation gamer, I'm not very excited about this. I didn't subscribe to PlayStation Now already. And so, you know, just giving me PlayStation Now but calling it PlayStation Plus Premium doesn't get me excited. That's just the truth of it. I don't know what else to say other than that. Yeah, I don't know. Just feels like it feels like looking for more money. Feels like trying to find ways to draw more out of people that are already there. And, you know, anybody looking at this and trying to tell you that this is some kind of definitive statement on the future of gaming, that PlayStation will never go to Netflix of gaming, that's not what this is.
I agree.
It's not what they're saying. And don't convince yourself of something that's just not true yet. Maybe they will never go that way. Maybe they'll find a way to keep us from ever going that way. But don't act like this is that statement right now. All right, should we get into the news?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so number one, E3 2022's digital event has been officially canceled. according to an email that's been sent to various industry partners. Well, that email has now been confirmed by the ESA themselves. It was confirmed in January that the physical version of the event had been canceled for the third year in a row, and now the planned digital equivalent has also followed suit. In a statement, the ESA said that it made the decision due to, quote, ongoing health risks surrounding COVID-19 and its potential impact on the safety of exhibitors and attendees, end quote. What a load of bollocks.
What's hilarious to me is, so the digital version is canceled over health concerns? Like, yeah, we don't want you standing at your computer, you know, alone. That's not safe. Like, basically, it's just, yeah, we don't want to put in the work and money that it takes to still...
Yeah,
because even the digital version takes time and money to prep and set up and do. And they're like, we're out. Like, here's what I think. We've had this discussion. E3's dead.
E3's dead.
It's over.
E3 is done.
Like, it's over. Yep. That I don't think it's coming back. I think E3 is done. Like, when you cancel over the digital, it's done, bro.
It's over. Now, they did state that they were planning to bring the event back in 2023, but I do not believe you.
Yeah, I don't either. I think it's done. I think it's done.
It's done. What's interesting, actually, though, I was listening to another show. Shout out to, what's it called? I feel bad because I just, like, I hit play and I go, and I wanted to give a shout out to the name of the podcast. Defining Duke, shout out to Defining Duke. It's a very good Xbox centric podcast, and they were kind of talking about what Xbox could do with their showcase events. And basically, they were convincing me that Xbox on its own, once Activision comes into the fold, could just hold their own E3.
Basically,
day one could be
almost like a BlizzCon.
Yeah.
You could have Blizzard.
Yeah, and they could put together like three separate shows. There could be like the Xbox first party, there could be the Blizzard Activision show, and there could be the indie show.
Yeah.
You know, they could even do a whole show dedicated to what's coming to Game Pass.
I agree with you. Like, think how big BlizzCon is right now.
Yeah.
You know, it now turn around and now make it just an Xbox Con or XCon or whatever you want to call it, right?
Like, where you have Bethesda and Xbox first party.
Like,
and,
dude, it'd be a huge thing.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with this. I'm sad that E3 is done.
Sorry.
I liked having my Super Bowl of gaming to look forward to every year. I would put in time off from work and I'd stay home and I'd watch the shows and
so
I would get all into it. And I don't know if we're ever going to have that again.
I had a group of buddies, who went to E3, a few years ago, and it was like amazing. They loved it. And so we made plans to all go. I was going to join them in the next one. We were all going to go, and the year we were going to go, it got canceled and it's not been back. So, I mean, look, I'm sad about it because I want to go, but I just don't think it's going to happen again.
Yeah, I think it's done. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the premiere episode of Halo, which we did already talk about a little bit at the top of the show. But the new TV series based on the game originally developed by Bungie has set a viewership record on streaming platform Paramount Plus. According to Paramount, the show, which debuted last week on the platform, broke the previously established record set by 1883, a series that aired back in November. For reference, the streaming service has only 32.8 million subscribers. I guess that's not only.
And what we're talking about here is it broke the number of views, so viewership, but they won't say what that is.
Yeah, so the most it could be is 32 million viewers.
Yeah, but right. Every subscriber watched it, but
because like Paramount Plus holds the Champions League, so probably the vast majority of those 32 million subscribers are there because they're watching the Champions League, not because of the Halo TV show. And for comparison, Disney Plus has over 130 million subscribers. So, you know, roughly four times as many subscribers.
Yeah.
Paramount Plus is currently included as part of Game Pass Ultimate, which you mentioned previously, Jason. So if you're a Game Pass Ultimate member and you want to go check this show out, you can go grab a free 30-day trial and have a look-see.
Yep.
All right. Number three. And we're back to the Activision Blizzard sexual harassment lawsuits. A federal court judge has approved Activision Blizzard's $18 million settlement of sexual harassment lawsuit filed last year by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or the EEOC. The settlement was originally agreed upon in September 2021, but was put on hold after objections from the Department for Employment and Housing, or the DFEH, the following month. The two agencies have not seemingly worked well together throughout the process, with the DFEH arguing that the EEOC's settlement would cause irreparable harm to its own suit. And the EEOC then returned a claim that the DFEH had two lawyers that were operating under ethical violations. It seems like these two should have just worked together for the betterment of the people affected. But what do I know? Clearly somebody's getting something out of this. Former Blizzard employee Jessica Gonzalez was also denied a motion to intervene in the proposed settlement.
Like, it's just this, like, dumpster fire after dumpster fire after dumpster fire.
It's just greed, man. That's all it is it's greed. It's greed from Activision. It's greed from liars. These people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all greed. But as a reference, so last year, Riot Games agreed to pay $100 million. And we did talk about this on the show back then, to settle a class action lawsuit over gender discrimination and sexual harassment as well. Riot had agreed to pay just $10 million to settle the class action lawsuit in December 2019 before the DFEH intervened and helped drive that figure up. So the DFEH are the ones saying that the EEOC settling for only $18 million is causing harm to their chances of getting much more money out of Activision for those that were affected. And the DFEH have history of being able to do that. So maybe they are out for the better of the employees, but I guess we'll see how this all plays out.
And maybe I'm wrong on this, and I don't want to hang too much on this, but my understanding is, so this $18 million that was settled is for one of the lawsuits. So it's like one individual. Whereas the $100 million was for like 1,300 employees.
Yeah, no. The $18 million is not for one individual.
Okay.
This is a lawsuit that was brought against Activision on behalf of employees affected by...
Which, because I guess the reason I thought that was because then you have this Jessica Gonzalez girl who is, you know, also suing. Well, and she's going, wait a second. I'm not included in that, or that's going to be, you know, like I have an additional lawsuit and I want my own money, et cetera.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. No, it definitely is a settlement for multiple employees affected, not like one person or even like a handful of people.
Right. Okay.
Just for everyone's awareness, there are still at least three more lawsuits that are currently public against Activision, including the one from the DFEH. I don't know how to say this properly. I will give it a shot. Fahiza Alim, a spokesperson for the agency, said it will continue to vigorously prosecute its action against Activision. That trial date is set for February 2023. Yeah, I feel like every week we're talking about Activision, but hey, as it is, we want to keep everybody aware and we want to make sure that everybody still sees the dumpster fire and doesn't forget the people that were affected and hurt by what was going on at that studio.
All right. If you don't mind, I'll take this one because I want to laugh at it.
Okay, go for it. Yeah, I need a drink of water anyway.
So, crypto thieves rob an adorable digital animal game for more than $617 million. So, hackers took advantage of an exploit in Axie's Infinity's, that's the game, so it's Axie's Infinity, so in Axie Infinity's sidechain to make one of the biggest scores yet in digital currency. So, Axie Infinity looks like a cross between a Tamagotchi and Pokemon, a digital pet universe where players battle, raise, and trade fantasy creatures called Axies. Creatures that happen to be NFTs. So
NFTs, yep.
So these NFTs are held on this side chain, which is their like digital like chain that they have it on. And so essentially you're gathering Pokemon, right? But these Pokemon are these NFTs. And so people are going in, paying money or whatever. They have these NFTs. And it's been robbed. So, all right. So, a February 2022 write-up by Decrypt.com described as the play to earn NFT game taking crypto by storm. But in a shocking development, the game has now been taken by hackers to the tune of more than $600 million, making it one of the biggest crypto heists of all time. Ironically, but not at all surprisingly, it looks like this heist was enabled, at least in part, by human error. The report says that in November 2021, Axie developer that goes by the name of Sky Mavis requested help from the Axie Decentralized Autonomous Organization to help it distribute free transactions to Axie Infinity players because it couldn't manage the user load on its own. Axie D, whatever, we're going to call it DAO by short. Axie DAO allow listed Sky Mavis to enable transactions, but when the arrangement ended a month later, nobody revoked the allow list access, and hackers found it and exploited it. Whoops.
Wow. That's crazy.
So the breach took place on March 23rd, but wasn't discovered March 29th. So this is like within the week. This is recent. When a user attempted to withdraw 5,000, I don't know what ETH is, from the bridge.
Ethereum.
Okay. Yeah. Ethereum. Thank you. So when they went to withdraw 5,000 Ethereum from the bridge, and they were unable to do so because that money was gone. That's not a great testament to the network security, a point Sky Mavis seemed to acknowledge in his message. So Sky Mavis, you know, this the dev has straight up owned this, said that it's his fault, you know, all this kind of stuff. So it's just hilarious. Basically, here we are. We've been saying NFTs are not going to be good. Here's a game that's entirely based on NFTs, and they've now been hacked for $617 million. I also find this hilarious and funny that just this week, during this whole process of Dr. Disrespect's game, and he's now taking on NFTs, and he's been dealing with a bunch of people on his streams, like spamming this kind of stuff on his streams and talking about how, you know, NFTs are a money grab and they're not doing anything to better the game, et cetera, et cetera. You got to get rid of them. And at this point, he's still standing firm and hard that they're going to be a part of his game. So,
yeah. Because he just sees money to make. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. When I didn't even realize there was a full-on NFT game out there that was making to the tune of almost $1 billion.
Oh, right. I mean, that's 617 was all that was just taken. I don't know how much they have, that is, right? So I don't know.
Outrageous. Yeah. I'm not touching NFTs.
I'm and not
also, I just love, like, you read this sentence and you're like, what fucking world are we living in? When it's like, when a user attempted to withdraw 5,000 Ethereum from the bridge, I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean?
That's what I was like, I don't know what ETH is. I don't know.
I went to get 200 cats from the cover the other day, and my money was gone. I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Don't buy NFTs, fellas.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. All right, number five, Epic and Fortnite is now the single biggest corporate donor to Ukraine. Epic Games and Microsoft have, through Fortnite in-game purchases, raised over $70 million to be donated towards humanitarian relief in the ongoing Russo-Ukraine war. And it's still got a week to go. Epic has pledged that from March 20th until April 3, all proceeds from real money purchases in Fortnite would be donated to four humanitarian organizations currently operating in Ukraine. Xbox agreed to partner up with Epic on this and has committed its net proceeds from Fortnite during this period. Putting the sum in context is difficult, but if you kind of look at a list of foreign aid being given to Ukraine over this period, the amount that Fortnite is contributing is more than a lot of small countries. In terms of other companies, this looks like the single biggest contribution made by far. Meta Platforms donated $15 million, Amazon $10 million, Samsung around $6 million. Although, of course, this does not quantify non-financial donations such as SpaceX's offering of the Starlink system to Ukraine. So, yeah, it's a cool thing that Epic and Fortnite are doing. I think it's cool that they said all proceeds. Like, they're not even like 10% of all sales. It's like, no, right. Everything that we make is going. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Although, you know, you kind of have to ask yourself, like, why is this particular moment the one where they're like, yeah, we'll give all of our money for this period to this cause.
Yeah.
It's like, what about, you know, the 15 other wars happening across the world right now, or, you know, any number of natural disasters
happen,
like, what about the homeless people in California, or, like, you know, there's all kinds of things, right?
I hate to do this, but it becomes even more interesting if we go on the politics side of this a little bit. It's not a politics show, but it's just funny to me. Who's Epic owned by?
Epic is owned by Tencent, are they not?
Where's Tencent at?
In China. And who does China currently ally themselves with?
Yeah. So anyway, we can move on. Just food for thought. Funny.
Yeah, follow the trail. I mean, maybe that says that Tencent don't have as much control over Epic as we might have thought they would.
Sure. Or that, you know, this Tencent is kind of a little, I don't know, you know, you'd think they're, you know, they're held, handheld by their government, but maybe not. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe this is a small, like, little, hey, you guys took away like a third of all of our players and said that their brains are rotting and they can only play for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
So now we're going to give some money to Ukraine. Take that, you commie bastards.
You commie bastards. All right.
I'm just having fun, guys. Don't get too serious with this. All right. Moving on. Number six, Amazon Games boss Michael Franzini has resigned. Franzini helped establish the company's troubled video game division. He was the head of Amazon Games and has stepped down from the position as leaving the company after 18 years. He cited a longstanding desire to take a mid-career break as his impetus for making the decision in a post on LinkedIn. Amazon Games saw numerous high-profile cancellations in recent years, including the shuttering of its planned Lord of the Rings MMO, as well as the debacle surrounding its multiplayer hero shooter Crucible, which was quickly shut down following release. It's unclear what effect Frazzini's departure will have on Amazon Games Studios' future projects. A former senior developer on Crucible attributed that game's failure to executive-level decision-making, which might have been Frazzini's fault.
Yeah.
But Amazon Game Studios' relative success with New World may indicate that positive changes have already taken place. So who knows? But we just wanted to kind of throw this out there.
It does feel like Frazzini was straight up. I mean, you know, that quote there, it does feel like Frazzini was straight up thrown under the bus. Like, hey, we've had some failures here. This guy's at fault. We've removed him and everything's going to be better.
Yeah, well, everything better be better now, or
someone has definitely Frazzini was definitely the, he was the scapegoat here for sure. Whether it was his fault or not was yet to be seen.
He probably scapegoated with a lot of money though, so who cares, right?
I mean, it's Amazon, so
yeah, yeah. Well, apparently Amazon only wants to give $10 million to Ukraine, so you know. It's because they were too busy paying off Frazzini to leave.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, I digress a little bit here. Moving on to number seven, Microsoft has paid developers more than $2.5 billion in royalty as part of the publisher's indie initiative, ID at Xbox. The figure was revealed in a new blog post by Xbox's general manager of content creation and programs, Chris Charla. He said, quote, since the program's inception, independent developers have earned more than $2.5 billion in royalties and total revenue generated by ID at Xbox partners on Xbox, which has almost doubled over the last 3 years. He also revealed that Xbox has paid developers and publishers hundreds of millions of dollars in Game Pass license fees. I thought this was an interesting news topic to bring up for two reasons. One, we talk about how much some of this stuff costs and how maybe PlayStation can't afford it. But what I will argue back is they just paid more than $2.5 billion for Bungie. So clearly they have money to spend on things. It's whatever they want to spend on is the question.
Mm-hmm.
Number two that I thought was interesting about this is a lot of people are saying, well, Xbox are going to strangle out indie developers with Game Pass, that you won't be able to get games on the market. You won't be able to find things. It'll basically turn console gaming into the iPhone store. But if you look at this, Xbox have been doing tremendous work over the past, 5 to 7 years. I've seen it grow and grow and grow, for indie developers and to bring them up and to give them money and give them opportunities to make their games, to give them a platform, to give them a stage. And even in all of this, I didn't write down this quote, but even in all of this conversation from Chris Charla, he actually says, look, we've done all this, but you know what we need to do now? We need to do a better job at discovery and helping people find these games. So I don't know. I think that this is a good sign from Xbox that they're trying to help indie developers, to be quite honest, a whole lot more than PlayStation are right now. You know, back in the PS3 era, in the early PS4 era, like the first, 3-4 years of PS4, they did a lot for indies, and they've just, it feels like, almost abandoned them. So I don't know. I thought that this was an interesting little bit to bring up. I don't know what you think, Jason.
No, I agree with you entirely. I mean, I kind of just go back to your, where you're talking about, Jim Ryan basically saying we can't afford to, give away our games and do Game Pass, right? Whereas here's Xbox saying like, hey, we're doing all that, and behind the scenes we're also paying out an additional $2.5 billion. Like, there's other things that we're doing as well, like that aren't on the forefronts of what people think are the quote-unquote cost of Game Pass, right? Like, so it's clearly successful because they've got money going out like crazy too, as part of that coming in, and they're just running. So I don't know, that's what kind of screams out to me. It just feels Xbox is obviously doing something right here.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And there's been a lot of, Tunic is one of these ID at Xbox indie games that just came out. I know that I kind of fell down at the end of it, but I loved the first 10 to 12 hours of it.
Yeah.
That's one. The Gunk was another one that I played recently that I really liked. That was an ID at Xbox game. There's a bunch of these out there. The Ascent was one of them. Yeah. That was a really good game last summer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just, pay attention to ID at Xbox. Pay attention to what they're doing for indie developers. These are good things that they're helping with. Give them a little bit of credit is all I'm saying. All right, our last news topic, number 8. I found this one to be pretty interesting, Jason, because we've talked about this one in the past. Electronic Arts has reportedly greenlit the decision to rebrand its FIFA series games as EA Sports Football Club.
So they've just officially moved on. They're done.
Yeah, this is according to journalist Jeff Grubb, who claimed on his premium Giant Bomb show Grubstacks that sources had confirmed to him that the long-running sports franchise will indeed be renamed. EA Sports Football Club, EA Sports FC, that's the name of the game, he said, before adding that the move comes after much documented tension between the football governing body and EA. Yeah, it sounds like this year's FIFA will not be FIFA.
Yeah.
It will be EA Sports FC. Football.
Yeah.
Yep.
So here's what's interesting to me on this is, FIFA essentially came out and said like, hey, we want more money for the name FIFA. That's basically what's happened here. Is they came out and said, we want to be paid way more money for you to call this game FIFA, right? And right. EA was like, yeah, no, we're not doing that, right?
Yeah, no.
And so it'll be interesting. Does FIFA get someone else to jump in, like a 2K or someone, to go like, yeah, we'll do it? Or now they just don't get any of that money now because no one else is going to pay it either. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Does a new FIFA arise, or they just oversold or overshot, right? Did they go in really high and now they're going to end up missing out? Like that. It was just curious to me what happens now with FIFA name in games.
Yeah. Wow, your dog is getting so much big. I remember when that thing was just like a little puppy.
Well, she's about 6 months old now.
Yeah, she's getting big. Sorry. Sorry for the listeners that could not possibly have seen what I just saw and got distracted by. But what I think is interesting is that, I think basically EA called FIFA's bluff and were like, look, where else are you going to go? Yeah. Konami's game is shit.
Yeah.
It's a total disaster. 2K would have to start from scratch. That's a 3 to 4 year minimum development cycle to put the first game out.
And then,
you're not worth that much.
And as it stands right now, I don't believe 2K has the licensing for players either. So they'd have to get that as well.
Yep.
On top of, you know, buying the rights to the FIFA name. So, but anyway, it's just interesting. So I just look at it in terms of did FIFA actually shoot themselves in the foot? Did they overshoot?
Yeah. And my personal thought is that they have, and that, you know, by the time the World Cup comes out,
mm-hmm.
there might be some reconciliation here.
Sure.
Where there's a,
like I said, their bluff was called. Right.
Yeah. Because I mean, there's literally no way you're going to have a FIFA World Cup game out.
Yeah.
Now this, you know, the World Cup is in 9 months. You can't develop a game that fast.
Yeah.
You know, so unless they reconcile with EA, it ain't happening.
All right. Well, just real quickly, I just have one more thing to add. USA. Yes. USA. We're in the cup, baby.
Yeah, we're finally going back to the World Cup after missing out the last one.
Yeah.
And the draw was today.
Yeah.
We got England. We got to play the motherland.
We're in Group B.
And then we also got Iran. Yeah. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And then
I like our group. So one last little thing that I'll say, non-game related. This is FIFA related. So it was proven, like came out and proved that there was corruption involved in the World Cup going to Qatar, right?
Mm-hmm.
They straight up proved it. They talked so much about taking it away from Qatar, but ultimately didn't, which is, I don't understand. Like they're basically like, we know there's corruption, but whatever, we're just going to keep it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I feel like there's still corruption going on. Group mm-hmm. A, which Qatar is in, is by far the worst group that is in recent history of any. Have you looked at Group A? Look at the ratings of teams, like world rankings of teams, and look at who's in Group A, which Qatar just happens to be in. I still don't think Qatar could necessarily advance because Qatar is like the fifth. They're the worst team in the World Cup by far. The only reason they're in the World Cup is because if you host the World Cup, you auto qualify, right? Like that's the whole point of why Qatar really wanted this thing, because now they get to be in a World Cup. But their group is horrendous, dude.
See, I'm not sure that I mean, you got the Netherlands.
Okay. They have one. That's what I'm saying. But what they did is they put one good team in there.
Well, and you have Senegal. Are you telling me Senegal is not good?
What's their world rank?
It doesn't matter to me.
What I'm saying is of the World Cup teams, they are in the by far the bottom tier. What I'm saying is look at all the groups. They are the worst group and it's not even close.
Yes, but let me counter that with, if let's say Wales win the playoff game and USA's group is actually England, Iran, and Wales.
Yeah.
Do you realize that all four of those teams will be in the top 21 of the FIFA coefficient? You're telling me that England, USA, Iran, and Wales is the group of death for this World Cup?
No.
Fuck no.
I think the group that has Germany and Spain in it is the group of death.
So don't come to me and say, oh, well, FIFA rankings say that this is a shit group, because on the flip side, FIFA rankings say that Group B is the best group. And that's a load of bollocks.
I get what you're saying. I'm the conspiracy theorist in me is that there's going to be all sorts of PKs awarded to Qatar, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I don't know. I just don't trust Qatar. I'm all out on Qatar. Okay.
Yeah. I feel you. I don't know. To me, like, I look at that and I'm like, yep, Netherlands and Senegal are going through.
I mean, and you're probably right.
It'll be easy.
I just don't trust Qatar at this point. Anyway, let's move on. We got way off gaming here. I'm just pissed off about the whole Qatar thing. The only thing that would be good is because it's crazy hot, they moved it to the summer to try to make it not so unbelievable.
You mean the winter?
Winter there. Sorry.
Is the worst part about this whole thing to me.
Well, the best part to me, because all of the USA games are the week of Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
I'm more likely to actually get to watch them instead of them being during the day and I don't get to see them.
My problem is that I don't care about international soccer.
I do a ton. I love international soccer.
All I care about is the club game.
It's
like if in the middle of the NFL season, they were just like, oh, everybody that's playing in the NFL season right now, everybody stop and go play this World Cup of football over here. And you're like, well, I don't want to stop the NFL season. I don't fucking care about this other thing.
I care more about World Cup, and I do watch, you know, like Champions, etc. But I care more about World Cup.
Yeah, people are ruining. And you know what? This is what also is going to happen. Arsenal are going to be doing great. Then the World Cup's going to start. Half our teams are going to injured. Half our team is going to get injured at the World Cup, and then we're going to be shit after.
You sound like every Lions fan that ever has existed. Arsenal's going to be amazing. Okay, let's move on.
We're going to be good.
Let's move on.
We're going to be great. No,
let's move on.
Here we are. No, don't on. Even. Right, don't even try.
You're the New York Jets, bro.
We're not the New York Jets. We're fourth in the Premier League right now.
Yeah. Okay.
We're great. We're amazing. Okay. We're like, we're like, you know, going top of the world. We're the best thing that's ever happened.
Okay, so what games are coming out?
I had to keep going until I won that just because I have.
I moved on because you just are.
Listen, I've got sports honor that I have to hold on to, that even if I look like an idiot here, I just got to keep going, and that's just how it has to be.
You don't look like one. You just sound like one. It's okay.
All right, so new releases, Death Stranding Director's Cut on PC, Weird West on PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and then next week you've got, on April 5th, you've got Lego Star Wars Skywalker and MLB The Show 22, and then that's really kind of it until April 29th, where you got Nintendo Switch
Sports. There's a bunch of indie little stuff, but nothing I think that's like worth calling out.
Pretty bad. Yeah. Okay, and then I started adding movies to this, which I think is pretty neat. I think that's pretty neat. So today, Morbius came out in theaters. So if you want to go check out,
I've seen so many reviews, and they're all absolutely wretched.
Oh, that's FYI. So sad.
They're bad.
Yeah,
the reviews are not good. Like user reviews, not like we're talking about Rotten Tomatoes. Like, user reviews on this it is not good.
Yeah, it's definitely that's. That's disappointing, but I'll still probably go check it out. And then on April 8th, we got Sonic 2, and then April 15th, we've got Secrets of Dumbledore.
Yeah, I'll watch Sonic 2 because my kids are way into Sonic, so...
It'll be fun. I like the first one.
Secrets of Dumbledore, you know what? I loved all the Harry Potters. I'll be honest with you. I've just not gotten into any of the new ones.
I only watched the first one.
I've not gotten into any of them, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't. I only watched the first one. I didn't even go back and watch the second one.
Yeah.
All right. Game announcements. The Forest sequel, Sons of the Forest, has sadly been delayed until October. Yeah, disappointing.
Yeah. I'm super pumped for this game, so I'm a little sad about that, but I'm not. I'm not shocked by it.
And then Nintendo has also officially delayed the release of Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild 2. To spring 23, so that's disappointing for you Switch nerds, seeing as you have nothing else good to play right now. Shots fired. I'm just kidding. Switch is great. Love the Switch. And then Persona 5, for those of you that are interested in this one, Persona 5 will leave the PS Plus collection on May 11th. Sony has confirmed players who add the game to their library before the removal will still be able to play the game for the duration of their PS Plus subscription. So if this is something you want, make sure you add it before May 11th. All right. Free games. April's PlayStation Plus games have been announced. These will be available on April 5th. Hood Outlaws and Legends, Slay the Spire, and SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated. What a mouthful. Those are your free games for April. Nothing too great there. Xbox, though, is even worse somehow. Games with Gold for April. Another Site, Hue, Outpost, Kaloki X, and MX versus ATV Alive. Wow.
That's so, look, awful. We've been talking about how these free games have just been wretched. I will say this. These just need to go away. At this point, you've got the new PlayStation Plus. You've got the Game Pass. Like, those are the free... Like, just make these go away. This is garbage. It's terrible. Just get rid of this crap.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. At least on the Xbox.
Yeah, side, like, games... Xbox stuff... Like, I remember Games with Gold was good at the beginning, but there was no Game Pass. Like, there was good games that would come out. Mm-hmm. They've just, like, run through those, and now all the good ones are in Game Pass. Like I said, it's just trash at this point.
Honestly, Xbox should be a little... They should definitely be called out for this, because they're still selling Xbox Gold as a $60 sub per year.
Yeah.
And part of that subscription was getting free games a month, and they're garbage free games.
They've been garbage for basically since Game Pass came out. It's been a long time of garbage.
Yeah. So, I mean...
At this point, the only reason you're paying for Gold... is to be able to play games online, and that's included with Game Pass. So just go to Game Pass. Like, I don't know why Gold still exists. Like, it's just, it's dumb. It should go away.
I agree with
you. So that's a negative on Microsoft there. Get rid of
that is definitely a negative on Microsoft. Mm-hmm. All right. Finally, number three, Rogue Legacy and Vanishing of Ethan Carter has been confirmed as next week's free Epic Games Store titles. They will be free to download on Epic PC's marketplace from April 7th through 14th. Until then, City of Brass and Total War Warhammer are available. Finally, Xbox Game Pass, Weird West, is now available as of March 31st. And then next week, on April 5th, you will have, access to MLB The Show 22. So go check those out. And then again, if you didn't hear us before, hear us now. Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members can get a bunch of different, free subscriptions or free trials of subscriptions. One of those being Paramount Plus. So you can go check out
Halo.
The Halo TV show. It's crap, but you should still check it out just to see how bad it is. Trust me. You will be disappointed. I feel like I'm really negative tonight, and I think that I'm funny tonight, and I'm probably not. So everybody, thank you for bearing with me through this absurdness that I've been on tonight. I swear, I'm not high. I promise. Jason's looking. See, again, I'm trying to make jokes. Look, it's April Fool's Day, guys. It's April Fool's Day.
Oh, this is so funny.
You know, you gotta live it up a little bit.
I'm just going to not say anything and watch you just fall into your own pit here. And I can just tell you're waiting for me to come rescue you.
Yeah. No, it's better that you didn't. It's great. No. I don't even know. How do I get out of this? Someone help me.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yeah, I'm like down in this hole, screaming, help me out of here. Yeah, all right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening here to the 89th episode. If you made it this far with the absolute cringe that I've had, we hope you found some enjoyment out of it. Remember, like, subscribe, review on your podcasting app of choice. If you have any questions on the show, DM us on Twitter or Facebook, and we'd be happy to read out your comments. The show will be back again next Friday. I swear it will not be as cringe. I was just trying to have some fun on April Fool's Day with episode number 90. Have a great weekend. Stay safe and game on.